Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. And, you know, Joe, how we love bold people. We like people that are bold for right and righteous. And every now and then there's a company or business, you know, they're all usually small mom-and-pop businesses, but give you exceptional service, and we like to give them a plug. Here is one that really is one that really needs a plug, and that is Newberry Printing. Bill Dornbach, his print shop is literally 6 inches. It's on the other side of the wall of the Communist Party headquarters in Geauga County. It's right on the other side, and that's based at their Route 87 and 44 out there in Newberry. And so here, they've got, you know, and he's, I mean, the communists are there looking in his windows, making mean faces at him. And they're really upset with him because he's got a big Trump flag in his window. And guess who gave that to him?
And I couldn't imagine who might have done something like that, Pastor Ernie.
And then the one of the signs that we had put out, the sign is a sign of a jackass, and on his backside he's got a hammer and a sickle, and he's looking back. And then on one side, it's got a picture of a little baby girl, and she said, "The Democrats didn't get me." And then on the other side of the sign, you know, you still got the jackass and the sickle, but it says, the sign says, "Make America into Venezuela," okay? You know, communists. And so he put that right up in his window, right? You know, and it's driving the communists crazy there, okay? And so, folks, that's Newberry Printing. You know, it'd be well worth it if you have to drive 60 miles to get your printing with Newberry Printing. By the way, the phone number there for those is 440-834-0728. That's the Newberry Printing, 440-834-0728. They have newsletters, they have brochures, they have envelopes, business cards, invoices, labels, and just a whole lot more. And they're a Christian patriot organization. Their address is 12424 Kinsman Road, and that's in Newberry, Ohio. So, there you go. I just gave him a good plug. He deserved a good plug.
Yeah, anybody that's willing to fight like that, it deserves it.
Well, they put a big article in the paper because it seems like there was a certain church called Doers of the Word that went out and held a protest in front of the Communist Party headquarters twice. And they had a big article that mean Pastor Sanders led his church out there to expose our wickedness, the evil of those people.
How dare you do something like that, yeah.
Yep. Well, go ahead and get on with your story.
All right. Well, Tampon Tim, you know, he looks like a fool. He over his exaggerated gestures and happy face, and he goes out there like a rock star, you know. But here's what he really does. He has set up the most unconstitutional thing going. He has banned faithful Christians from teaching in Minnesota's public schools, and this new ban is going to happen in a few months from now. It also bans any Jew or Muslim from teaching. So if you're a Christian, a Jew, or a Muslim, you can't teach after July 2025 in Minnesota. The Federalist paper says, you know, he is poised to make similar bigoted, totalitarian, and unconstitutional policies for our nations if he's elected. What's happened, this leftist governor, he's crazy. The state will demand that teacher license applicants affirm transgenderism and race Marxism. And if you don't, then there's no license, no job. And even a lot of the private schools there in Minnesota require certification, and if the state won't certify you. So I want to read this. the rules demand, quote, now listen to this garbage. The teacher fosters an environment that ensures student identities such as race, ethnicity, national origin, language, sex and gender, gender identity, sexual orientation, physical, developmental, emotional ability, socioeconomic class, and religious beliefs are historically and socially contextualized, affirmed, and incorporated into a learning environment where students are empowered to learn and contribute as their whole selves. Now, I read that over a few times. You'd have to spend half a day to parse what that actually means. But what they're trying to do is, you know, if you think you are, you know, a dog and you want to be a dog at school and drink out of a water bowl and, you know, go to a litter box, they're pretty much, okay, that's good. Yeah, we're not going to say a word against you. And the administrative law judges have already proved this anti-faith ideology, backed it up. The state was already demanding that teachers renewing licenses demonstrate cultural competency, which includes evidence of self-reflection and total discussion of the state's new ideologies. That's DEI, woke, you name it, LGBTQ, all of that stuff is what they're talking about, the new ideology. And the dean there, the Midwest Law Center, some Christian universities will obey, others won't, but will disobey quietly to sue back only when they're punished. So what's happening is everybody's afraid there to do anything. But remember what the Bible says? The Bible says something about Jesus said, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father in heaven. But whosoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. That's Matthew 10:32 and 33. So this state is bringing about compelled speech, which is unconstitutional, and not only compelled speech, but deny of your religious freedom. This country was founded on religious freedom. And so this is how wicked this man is. And there's a lot more about all this stuff of what they're supposed to do at different grades and different levels. And already in the schools there, they've been working on this stuff, bringing this wokeism into the schools. And the end of the article said the results could be predicted. The student achievement in the state is already plummeting. Now, remember when he got up and was speaking, this is the man that said, we've got a golden rule, mind your own darn business, you know. He said the government has to stay the heck out of your bedroom. Well, this, remember, was the man during COVID that demanded neighbors spy and report on their neighbors. Why, if you left your house, the neighbors were supposed to call and report you for going outside during COVID. This is the man that says, we've got a golden rule, mind your own darn business. That's not the word he used, but I will. Two-faced liar. He is a communist to the bone. And if he gets to be vice president, this is the kind of stuff he's going to want to put on your school for your children, your grandchildren. And if we let this happen now, America, we're going to be judged very, very harshly. That's about it.
I know it's
sickening, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's just, this is exactly the way the Bible says it would be like. You know, we're there. We're seeing, again, the unsealing of the book that, and they told in Daniel chapter 12, you know, write this all in the book, and then we're seeing all of these things that are happening right now. And
we're not fighting it here in Missouri. If you were to bring something like that up here in Missouri, there'd be farmers and ranchers going to the state capitol with guns and their pickup trucks. I mean, this would not fly around here. And but that shows where these states are liberal in the government. You have a Democrat government in control. They control the brainwashing. They control the legislature. And they are the ones fomenting this communist revolution, bringing it about. And the trouble is a lot of the blue states haven't figured out it's a real revolution. And we're not fighting back like it's a real war, a real revolution. And that's the problem. We have not realized the danger as a, quote, people, as a state, as a nation we're in.
Well, again, it goes back to Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge.
And I remember watching, wasn't it Sally Stahl or whatever her name was there on the media, the mainstream, what they call the mainstream, saying how our job is to tell you what to think and why you think it. That's our job.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the media has been, has really dumbed down. I mean, really dumbed down. But now, even those people in the blue states are feeling it at the grocery store. They're feeling it. Now, again, we talked about this last night. How are they going to be smart enough to understand why the gas prices have dropped? All of a sudden, the gas prices have dropped close to the election, right?
Right.
And do you think they're going to be smart enough to understand that as soon as the election's over with, as long as Biden's in, they're going to go way back up again?
This has happened over and over and over. A Democrat runs for office. They go to the center. They look like a centrist. They get elected. They turn radical leftist. I mean, how many times have we told this story? We've told this story so many times, it's like, you know, people, aren't you getting it? This is the playbook. This is the way they cheat. This is the lies they tell you to get in office. Once they're elected, then they start, like, stacking the deck in the deep state, bringing in the liberal attorneys, the liberal bureaucrats. What they're doing is they're creating a communist government, de facto government. This is the revolution, and we have to understand these people are playing hardball. They're playing for keeps, winner take all.
Right, and what their goal is to depopulate this planet. Their goal is to depopulate this planet. I've said in their meetings when they didn't know who I was, and they want to reduce it down from almost 8 billion people to a half a billion. And so that is their goal. Their goal is death. Death. By any means that they can bring death upon on the people in this country. And yet, again, the vast majority of people are la-la landers. It's because of biblical illiteracy, Joe. They're clueless. They're absolutely clueless. And, of course, that's what the Bible says. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, here's something here. The Justice Department steps in for Trump. Now, listen to this. The Justice Department steps in for Trump in the George Floyd protest, right? The Justice Department has interviewed the former president, Donald Trump, asking a federal court in Washington to dismiss a civil complaint brought over a clash between protesters and police that they took place in the city following George Floyd's death, okay? Now, here they were charging Trump in this case. Now, Black Lives Matter D.C. and others brought the original lawsuit in June 2020, just days after police used crowd control and tactics in Lafayette Square before Trump was set to appear at the nearby church. Remember, Trump went over, he walked to the church, and they wanted to burn the church down across the street.
Street, right.
And so here, again, so the Justice Department knows that this is going nowhere. They know that this is that. They've got no chance in the world in this case here. So it looks like to me that they say, well, you know, we can't waste any more time on this. We got to find another way to get him. We're not going to get him with this, okay? And so what do you think?
I think the people had better open their eyes and just realize what is happening. They've got to start talking to their family, their friends and neighbors. They've got to start talking to each other in church. They've got to start realizing that you know, certain issues if your pastor is not preaching about communism, about abortion, about different things. He is not doing you any favors. In fact, he is, well, by his silence, he's allowing, he or, you know, it should be a he. In some cases, if you have a female pastor, you're in the wrong church.
You're not in a church. You're not in a Christian church.
You're not in a Christian church, but they're being complicit. They're aiding. If they're not, you know, if you're not for us, you're against us. So in a case like this, if you're being neutral, you're helping the enemy. I think that's a fair statement. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I would. You know, I think we ought to open the phone lines and hear from some people from Minnesota. What do you think? What is it like? What is it like being under, living in Minnesota, and maybe ask some questions on why they're a blue state? Why are they so communistic? So let's do that. I want to open the phone lines for folks from Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah.
Now, I know we get calls from Minnesota all the time, but let's see if they're going to call in tonight.
Yeah.
Because we just asked them to tell us why they're living in that state, why it's the way it is. So the phone lines are open there. We're asking just for callers from Minnesota at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. You think we'll get any calls, Dial?
I think we should.
Yeah, well, I do. I do, too.
In the meantime, I got one quick story while we're waiting for our first call. There is a person hired. The Biden-Harris administration announced Sheena Nair has been appointed special assistant at the National Nuclear Security Administration, and this person believes in eradicating purported white supremacy in the nuclear field, as well as queering nuclear weapons as part of a diversity, equity, and inclusion push she believes is essential for deterring threats to nuclear energy facilities in the U.S. Finally, she said, kind of quote, queer theory informs the struggle for nuclear justice and disarmament. Queer theory helps to shift the perception of nuclear weapons as instruments for security by telling the hidden stories of displacement, illness, and trauma caused by their production and testing. She said, argues that DEI more broadly is essential for creating effective nuclear policy. I mean, everything, the pages and pages of this kind of stuff. Oh, by the way, before she joined the administration, she worked for the Stimson Institute. That's a leftist organization that has received hundreds of thousands of dollars from George Soros' Open Society Foundation and millions from the embassy of the state of Qatar. Yeah, oh, the nice friendly place. Qatar is where all of the Palestinian leaders are hiding so they can conduct warfare, let their people die, but they live in luxury and hiding. Qatar is one of the places they're being hidden. And anyway, she talks about the DEI agenda is necessary to prevent thefts, and collectively the principles of DEI can work to mitigate counterproductive work behavior, prevent disgruntled employees, and blah, 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 that bolstering DEI is a national security matter. This is the kind of idiots they're hiring and putting in the government. This should scare you. This person is not thinking about nuclear security. She's thinking everything has to be DEI. We've got to get rid of the whites because, you know, it's bad. White supremacy is bad, and we've got to queer everything. So, in other words, she wants everything in this department staffed with LGBTQs. Does that make you feel safe and secure about our national defense, anyone?
Yeah, you know, it's. I'm looking now as they're. I know that the ships in the Philippines have been being harassed by the communist Chinese.
They were rammed by the Chinese ships.
Oh, that's harassment.
They were put out of commission because the Chinese ships rammed them on purpose.
Yeah.
Nothing to worry about there, folks. China's just being real aggressive, you know.
Well, they're doing that to see how the United States would respond. So now Biden has ordered that that we escort, that U.S. ships escort, in other words, the Philippine ships,
have to escort their ships now. Okay.
Yeah.
You mean he didn't tell them, no, don't go there?
You know, it's just it's an amazing thing. Now, this is something why we haven't gotten any calls from
Minnesota. Is there anybody listening up there? We brought up some real, big news to me. This is the most, you can't be a Christian and teach in the public school system there. You can't be a Jew, a Jewish person, and teach. You can't even be a Muslim and teach in the public school system.
Well, you know,
if I were a parent, I'd leave that state so fast. I would grab my kids or my grandkids and pull out of that state so quick if I couldn't homeschool. I don't think I'd even want to live in that state. I'd go someplace where I feel free and safe.
Yeah, but I'd like to hear from some of them, because we had, remember, it wasn't a couple of years back where there you have a lot of Muslims involved in Minneapolis, and you had that situation where a woman came up to a police car wearing a nightgown, and there was some kind of an emergency that was happening, something, a robbery, a break-in or something, and she came to try to get a cop to help her, and Muslim cop saw her coming towards him wearing a nightgown, and he shot her and killed her. Yeah, we need to hear from you folks out there, because from Minnesota, St. Paul.
You care about your children? You want them being taught this in school? You want, they have the kind of schools that, you know, the parents aren't going to be told if your child wants to be called by another name, if they, you know.
Now,
they're citing against you. They're anti-parent.
Well, they are, but you see, we're not blaming you folks out there, the Christians. We just want you to tell us what it's been like, what he has been like as a governor. And, I think we
just speak up because your neighbors or something are going to, you know, maybe the people there are afraid. Maybe the state is so.
Well, you know, that's the way it was.
They're afraid.
That's the way it is in Canada, Joe. This radio program is illegal in Canada. If we were in Canada, they'd arrest us for doing this.
Yeah, we'd be in jail already, long time ago.
And so here, I had people calling me, but they were afraid to call on the air. They were afraid that the government, somebody in the government would recognize their voice, or even a neighbor, and would turn on them.
Tap their phones. They were.
Yeah.
One of them even said they're worried that, you know, they'd be listening on the phones.
Yeah. So anyhow, no calls from Minnesota. This is an amazing thing. And because, we're on two stations there, Joe, and I would get calls during the week from people in Minnesota. I think you're right. I think they're actually afraid to have their, you know, somebody know who they are. Or
possible, yeah.
Yeah. Boy, how did Minnesota go so bad so fast?
Yeah, that'd be. I'd love to hear somebody explain that. But maybe in the meantime, I could tell a story while we're waiting.
You're good at that, Joe. You're good at them. Now, I think. Let me see. Does this story, by any chance, have to do with pigs?
Yep, it does.
Well, do you know what? Style really needs to hear this story.
You calling me a pig?
No, I'm just telling you.
No.
You need to know about these pigs, though. But go ahead and let him know.
There was a storyteller named George Gordon came up with this story. It's called The Wild and Free Pigs of the Okefenokee Swamp. Okay? That's the title. Here's the story. Some years ago, back about 1900, an old trapper in North Dakota hitched up some horses to his Studebaker wagon, packed a few possessions, his traps, and drove south. Weeks later, he stopped in a small town just north of the Okefenokee Swamp in Georgia. It was a Saturday, and he walked into the general store, and sitting around the pot-bellied stove were seven or eight of the local citizens. The traveler said, "Gentlemen, can you direct me to the Okefenokee Swamp?" The old-timers looked at him like he was crazy. "You must be a stranger," they said. "I am. I'm from North Dakota." "In the Okefenokee Swamp are thousands of wild hogs," one old man said. "A man who goes in the swamp by himself has to die." He lifted up part of a leg. "I lost half my leg to those pigs in that swamp." Another fellow said, "Look at the cuts in my arm. Look, my arm half bit off." "Those pigs have been free since the revolution, eating snakes and rooting out roots and fending for themselves. They're wild. They're dangerous. You can't trap them. You don't go in there by yourself." And they all agreed. Hill trapper said, "Thanks for the warning. Now, can you direct me?" So they told him. They begged him not to go, but he said, "Sell me 10 sacks of corn. Help me load it in the wagon." They did. And he bid them farewell, drove down the road, and the townsfolk thought they'd never see him again. A couple weeks later, the man came back, pulled up to the store, got off the wagon, walked in, bought 10 more sacks of corn, loaded it up, went back down to the swamp. 2 weeks later, came back, bought 10 more sacks of corn. This went on for a month, 2 months, 3 months. Every week or two, he'd come into town, load up corn, drive into the swamp. He became a legend in the little village. A lot of speculation about what was going on. One morning he came in as usual, and they were ready to sell him the corn, but he got off, went in the store, and took off his gloves and said, "Gentlemen, I need to hire about 10 or 15 wagons. I need 20, 30 men. I have several thousand hogs in the swamp all penned up. They're hungry, and I've got to get them to market." "You've got what in the swamp?" "People, I've got these few thousand hogs penned up. They haven't eaten, and they'll starve if we don't get back there and, you know, pick them up and bring them in." "You mean you've captured the wild hogs of the Okefenokee? Well, how did you do it? What'd you do?" And then went back over. "I lost my arm. My brother died. I lost my leg." They were telling him all the bad stuff. And he said, "Well, I went in there. They were wild, all right. They hid underground, wouldn't come out, and I didn't dare get off the wagon. So I spread corn behind the wagon. Every day I'd spread a sack of corn. The old hogs wouldn't have anything to do, but the younger pigs thought it was easier to eat free corn than, you know, root out roots, catch snakes. So they ate the corn first. I did this every day. Pretty soon, even the old pigs decided it was easier to get some corn. After all, they were free. They could run any time, any direction they wanted. They could fight. They could come after me. The next thing was to get them used to eating in the same place all the time. So I selected a small clearing and put the corn in the clearing. At first, they wouldn't come into the clearing. It's too open. But the young decided it was easier to take the corn in the clearing than it was to, you know, provide their own food. So not long after, the older pigs decided it was easier to come into the clearing every day and get the free corn. Still, they could, you know, get out. They could eat whatever they wanted. They could go any direction. There were no bounds. So the next step was to put up some fence posts. I put fence posts all around the clearing. I kind of hid them so they weren't too suspicious. After all, they were just sticks in the ground, you know, like the trees and brush, but the corn was there every day, and they could walk between the posts, get the corn. This went on for a while. They got used to this, getting their free corn. Well, the next step was to put a rail down along the bottom. So I left some openings so that the older, fatter pigs could walk through and the young pigs could jump over one rail. There was no threat to their freedom. They could always jump or flee anytime they wanted. Now I decided I wouldn't feed them every day. I fed them every other day. On the days I didn't feed them, the pigs gathered in the clearing. They squealed, they grunted, they begged and pleaded for me to feed them. But I fed them only every other day, and I put a second rail around the posts. Now the pigs became more and more desperate for food. Now they were no longer used to going out and digging up their own roots and finding their own food. They needed me. They needed my corn. So I trained them that I would feed them every day if they came in through a gate. and I put up a third rail around the fence. But it was still no great threat because there were several gates they could go in and out. Finally, I put up a fourth rail. Then I closed all the gates but one and fed them very, very well. Well, yesterday I closed the last gate, and today I need you to help me take the pigs to market. Well, folks, this is an allegory. This really isn't a story about pigs. It's about federal money. Federal money being used to bait and trap and enslave a once free and independent people. Federal welfare has reduced a lot of individuals to a state of dependency. State and local governments are on the fast track to eliminate due to the functions being subverted, you know, by revenue sharing and different things out of the government. This is all about government welfare.
All righty, hang tight. That's the whole point, to get them addicted to it, and you have, and this is what they did with the minorities, have a ready group of voters that will vote, to keep you in office, so... they're never going to get ahead, but they'll get their corn. But some people are waking up to that here in this country. A lot of the minorities are waking up to that. And so hang tight. We'll be back after this.
What would you say if someone decided that Shakespeare's plays, Charles Dickens' novels, or the music of Beethoven could be rewritten and improved? I'll be right back. Writing in the Journal The Alternative, Richard Hanser, author of The Law and the Prophets and Jesus, What Manner of Man Is This, has called attention to something that is more than a little mind-boggling. It's my understanding that the Bible, both the Old and New Testaments, has been the best-selling book in the entire history of printing. Now another attempt has been made to improve it. I say another because there have been several fairly recent efforts to, quote, make the Bible more readable and understandable, unquote. But as Mr. Hanser so eloquently says, for more than 3.5 centuries, its language and its images have penetrated more deeply into the general culture of the English-speaking world and been more dearly treasured than anything else ever put on paper. He then quotes the irreverent H.L. Mencken, who spoke of it as purely a literary work, and said it was probably the most beautiful piece of writing in any language. They were, of course, speaking of the authorized version, the one that came into being when the England of King James was scoured for translators and scholars. It was a time when the English language had reached its peak of richness and beauty. Now we're to have the Good News Bible, which will be in, quote, the natural English of everyday adult conversation. Well, I'm sure the scholars and clergymen supervised by the American Bible Society were sincerely imbued with the thought that they were taking religion to the people with their Good News Bible. But I can't help feeling we should instead be taking the people to religion and lifting them with beauty of language that has outlived the centuries. Mr. Hanser has quoted from both the St. James Version and the Good News Bible some well-known passages for us to compare. A few thousand years ago, Job said, "How forcible are right words." The new translators would have him saying, "Honest words are convincing." That's only for openers. There is the passage, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." Is it really an improvement to say instead, the wiser you are, the more worries you have, the more you know, the more it hurts? In the New Testament, according to Matthew, we read, "The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way." The Good News Version translates that into, "Someone is shouting in the desert, get the road ready." It sounds like a straw boss announcing lunch hour's over. The hauntingly beautiful 23rd Psalm is the same in both versions, for a few words. "The Lord is my shepherd." But instead of continuing with "I shall not want," we're supposed to say, "I have everything I need." The Christmas story has undergone some modernizing, but one can hardly call it an improvement. The wondrous words, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy," has become, "Don't be afraid, I'm here with good news for you." The sponsors of the Good News Version boast that their Bible is as readable as the daily paper, and so it is. But do readers of the daily news find themselves moved to wonder, quote, "at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth," unquote? Mr. Hanser suggests that, sadly, the tinkering and general horsing around with the sacred text will no doubt continue as pious drudges try to get it right. It will not dawn on them that it has already been gotten right. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
All righty, there you go. And he was a very, very smart man, Ronald Reagan. And he was right on, right there. So... All righty. Well, you know what? We will, for the next 10 minutes, take calls from whoever. You know, it looks like we don't have anybody there in Minnesota that wants to call in. I kind of think they're afraid to do that, Joe.
Anyhow, we offended them, one of the two.
Yeah, you probably did. What style? Who was it, style?
What was that?
Who offended?
I'm trying to get these phones now.
Are they lighting up now? Go ahead.
We just lost one.
Oh,
I'm,
no.
I'm hoping it wasn't Minnesota.
It might have been. Alrighty. One of the most talked about aspects of the 2024 presidential election so far is the movement of minority voters to President Trump. According to a recent survey, two specific reasons for this are economic issues such as the crippling inflation of the Joe Obama-Biden, as well as the Democrats' rush to embrace the most extreme elements in their party. One stunned CNN analyst called the shift truly historic. Pollster Franz Luntz understood the trend by telling CNN, "I actually think it's possible that among black voters, male black voters under the age of 40, that a third of them could end up with Trump in the fall." Yeah, they're moving, the black men are moving more and more that way. Well, men in general are moving more to the right, and these college-educated young females are moving farther to the left. I should say college indoctrinated,
right. Uh-huh. They're no longer being educated.
No.
If you look at some of the course curriculums in the colleges, the math, science, engineering, no, they're taking all these DEI courses and all the sexual orientation things. Yeah. You can go to college without ever taking anything that would help you in business or a career.
I hear you. We're going to have to take some calls, Joe. Go ahead. Who do we have?
We got Brian in Dallas.
Let's go to Dallas and Brian. Brian, you're in the air.
Hey, Joe, Pastor Ernie. Joe, you doing better, sir?
Not doing better. Thanks.
You've been sounding so much good, man. Real quick, I was bringing something up to Sty, and I heard something on the news today about this thing going on in Nevada desert. It's called Burning Man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we talked about that last night.
Yeah, I wanted to look this up, Pastor, and I was like, okay, what's going on with this? So when I looked at the pictures on this, it showed that on the very front entrance of this place, it says, curiosity for people that are curious. So I was like, okay, this is really wild. So, and it said, the top of the headline said, Burning Man, hundreds of private jets, rich people coming into this thing to the desert, hundreds of jets. You know, I was like, what is going on with this? So got the reading, and it showed the picture. It looked like an Antichrist monument or something when they're setting this thing on fire. And I was like, okay, let me read a little bit more into it. And it said that typical people that go to this are age 37 and up. They're heterosexual, and most of the people that are going to it, and anybody can read this now, it's out there. Most of the people that attend this are Democratic. It said that they do drugs, alcohol, nudity, orgies, chains, bondage. Now, if I'm wrong, Joe, please correct me. But
you're right.
I mean, what is going on with this world?
Well,
I mean,
think about it. What does a burning? They make a Burning Man at the end of the celebration. It's just big. It's just a big party, a real wild party, and they burn this man in effigy. Now, what, if you're a Christian, what does a Burning Man represent to you?
The Antichrist.
A man in hell.
The man in hell, yes.
What, in the fire that, you know, consumes, you know, that burns eternal? It's just a big wild orgy, and it's been going on for years. And they run around half naked, and they're supposed to be adventurous, and they have all kinds of fancy words, but it's just a great big drunken drug party.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I don't want to go anywhere further than this, but when I read up on that, Pastor, it was alarming to me because I'm not really familiar with this. I pretty much stayed to the Bible. I know that these things are going on in the world, but these are the things that our people that are in office should be against, this type of stuff, allowing this stuff to happen. I mean, I know it's going to happen. But
the people that in the White House, they are the kind of people that will be there. There would be a number of them. They're anti-Christ.
When it says on the top headlines, hundreds of jets flying into Nevada.
All of these so-called movie stars, the rock stars, are going there.
The rich, the famous, the politically correct lefties. You're not going to find Christian conservatives there.
Yeah, we read the list off last night. Got to move on, though, but thanks. Who do we have next?
We have Dan in PA.
We got to go to PA with Dan. It'd probably be the last call for tonight. Dan, you're in the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a point. If they're going to kill babies, innocent babies, late term and beyond that, if they disarm the people, they're going to do the same thing to them. I just want people to wise up.
Well, you're absolutely right there. I mean, it's no secret. They don't even deny it. They want to depopulate the program, the planet, and see, and most of these Democrats, they don't know it. They think, well, we won't be one of them, okay? They just don't get it, do they? Especially those people in the media. Remember what happened. History repeats itself. Remember what Hitler and Stalin, what they both did, because when they had those people, the media, who Hitler used for his propaganda. And then what did he do? He had them all gathered up. When he couldn't trust them anymore, he said, if you betray your own countrymen, you'll betray us in the movement. Yeah. And he eliminated them.
Yeah.
And so,
you're one of the best pastors getting the facts out to the people. Keep up the good job.
Yeah, we'll do it as long as we can. Keep us in prayer because we got forces working against us, and we're up against a really hard time right now. Okay, thank you. How much time do we have, Sal?
Got about 11 minutes.
Do we have any other callers there?
Not on the line currently.
Okay, so they probably hung up when I said that'd be the last call.
Probably.
Already. Yeah. Well,
one more quick story. Some real good news in Texas. They're clearing out their voter rolls, and they announced 1 million ineligible voters removed from the voting rolls since last election. Governor Abbott ordered, the purge. 1.1 million names were purged, and they're checking monthly to keep their rolls clean. He said election integrity is essential to our, democracy. I've signed the strongest election laws in the nation to protect the right to vote, to crack down on the illegal voting. And they took off non-citizens, they took off dead people, they took off people that moved to the other state. And lo and behold, they found that there were about 6,500 non-citizens, and many of them had allegedly been casting votes in past elections.
Yeah.
Do like Texas, leading. What? If the other states did that, we'd have a clean election.
Well, that's what tomorrow's program is going to be about. We're going to have Jerome Corsi, Lord's willing. Jerome's scheduled to be with us tomorrow. Here in Ohio, we have, let me just read you. Corsi and Paquette presented to the Ohio Secretary of State Voter Integrity Inquiry with the evidence of secret algorithmic codes embedded in voter rolls. And so here, they found out, and you know what? I think they know who's did it now. And so we're going to be talking about that, Lord's willing, tomorrow here in Ohio. It's the way they're doing it. He explained it very well before. But we have, again, when it comes to voter fraud, when it comes to crime, you can't beat the Democrats. When it comes to election fraud, they're the top of the barrel there. And so they're going after them. I noticed a number of states now are working harder to correct, even in Georgia. And Now, of course, there's a big battle going on in Arizona because the Democrats, Katie Hobbs and that bunch, they want to keep it the way it is where they can, the corruption, the election fraud. But the courts have ruled on that. And they're going to clean up. They have to be a citizen if you're going to vote there.
What? But, you've got to be a citizen to vote?
Yeah.
Like the next thing is you might even have to show an ID, like to get into the Democratic convention. You had to have a ID and prove who you were before they'd let you in. You mean we might have to do that to vote?
Yeah.
What an idea.
Joe, their hypocrisy is amazing. And
yeah.
It really is.
There's no bounds.
None at all. All righty. But I do want to say to this to the folks, keep us in prayer out there, folks. This ministry, we've been around for, as you know, for a long time, and we've had some very tough times. And this next week that we have, we really need to raise about $25,000 by the end of this week. And if we can do that, we have a good chance of staying all the stations we're on. But we need to do that, so at least we have a better chance. So if you keep us in prayer on that, and if you could help us out, you can go to our website, wrwl.org. Or, Joe, give the address, would you?
Sure. The address, WRWL, at 14781 Sperry Road. That's Sperry Road, Newberry, Newbury, Ohio, 44065, and if you didn't get that down, you can go to wrwl.org, and all that information is right there on the website.
And, yeah, and folks, you really need to get our newsletter. So many people have learned so much and actually have people's lives have been saved because of what we had in the newsletter. Those people read it and didn't take the COVID kill shots. Yeah. Anyhow, Joe, go ahead and tell the folks how they can avoid hell and get to heaven.
Will do. Psalm 53, verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. And if you look all through, he's talking about the unsaved. We live in a world, and it's because of the unsaved that we are in the mess we are, because it's the unsaved that are easily brainwashed. It's the unsaved who do not understand, do not have the knowledge and love of God. There are five things, basically, God wants you to know that'll change your life for what? For eternity. The first one is there is only one way to heaven. We have a world that just thinks everybody's going to go to heaven, but it doesn't work that way. You don't get to heaven through having a religion, belonging to a church, a certain denomination, good works, you know, good, healthy, clean, moral living. No. Jesus made it clear. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. John 1, verses 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them he gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's that spiritual rebirth, that being born again. Well, we know that Jesus told Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to have a spiritual rebirth. And, whether you want to admit it or not, you are a sinner. Even if you think, I've lived this great life, I didn't lie, cheat, steal, you know, which I don't believe because we've all sinned. But Jesus spoke more on the sins of omission, because God has said he wanted us to do this, that. He's always directing us to do things to serve him. And when we don't do things, it's a sin of omission. We're sinning by not doing what we're told, what we're supposed to do. So we're doomed except for the salvation of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned, and we've come short of the glory of God, period. And God does require punishment. It's real simple. John 3:36, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. And we know in Romans it tells us the wages of sin is death. That's why the Jews had to sacrifice, the blood sacrifice for the temporary forgiveness of sins. They had to continually go back to the temple, continually sacrifice to keep themselves forgiven of sins. But the gift of God is eternal life, because Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, came, and he willingly went to the cross, took the sins of the world upon his sinless, spotless soul, and he paid that price. He paid with his shed blood, you know, the wages of sin is death. He died in your place, my place, and gave us this wonderful gift of eternal life. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through Jesus, might be saved. So what do we do? Romans 10:9-13. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whoever believeth...
1 minute, Joe, 1 minute.
...shall not be ashamed, okay? We call upon the Father, we ask God to forgive us, because from with a repentant heart that our sins put his Son on the cross. Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. You know, sorry your Son had to die for me. And you will be forgiven, and then you can call upon Jesus. And you can say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to give myself to you freely, willingly, without hesitation. He's got to be first place in your life, and if you're willing to do that, he will give you the down payment on eternal life, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. You become your own high priest, your own temple. Your body becomes the temple. It'll be holding the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You have a personal relationship then, not a religion, but a personal relationship with Jesus. You become a son or daughter of the kingdom and a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life.
You absolutely. And Joe, we know that we have absolutely no doubt in everything you just said, for sure. We're out of time, so we want to say good night.
Good night, all.
Thanks for being here. And always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.